It's the day after the NFL draft, folks, and there are a ton of new Kansas City Chiefs. We have to get into who went where, who landed why, and what that grade is. Today are grades on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, friends and neighbors. It's a little bit weird. I know I don't exactly sound normal. It's been a very long weekend calling every pick of every team for the whole thing. So bear with my voice. I appreciate it. We are back today. Thanks for making us your first listen. Make sure you check out the draft show because next year's draft has already begun. That's the way that it works around here. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting. You can find our draft guide and everything there as well as NFL33.com. A lot more information about what the league is doing. But today, thanks to BetOnline, who is sponsoring this show, they're where the game starts. We're going to talk Kansas City Chiefs draft grades. I'm looking forward to it. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great. I am a fan of Chiefs Corner. You can go find my stuff over there. It's on the screen. And as it says on YouTube, or as we should say on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and go turn on the notifications so you can get our videos that are coming out on there. A lot of you were coming and seeing the different things that we can do on draft weekend. A lot of different videos out. I actually talked to the Locked On Badgers guys, really liked getting a little bit more about Leo Chanel, who we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, and please also give us some iTunes reviews. We would appreciate those as well. I really like this draft. I think I said this on Twitter and I'll say it here. I really do think that in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to have seven starters coming out of this draft.
Yeah. If we had gone to BetOnline and taken the line at 9.5, I took the under and we both would have lost because they ended up taking a ton of players, 10 selections. And when it breaks down, I agree with you. You can see a ton of value here. In the end, they took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys that I had at the fifth round level or above. That's how many selections they made for this roster. That is a slew of picks. And they got a couple other guys as well. And this UDFA class is being put together this morning as we're going. We'll get to that here later in the week, folks. But just taking a look at the first round, the day one guys, Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, how do you grade out the move to go get McDuffie?
Based on the way the draft fell out, I think you have to give McDuffie an A. And it's because all the wide receivers were gone by 18. And I don't think Kansas City was really going to be that interested in Treylon Burks. I could be wrong, but he was gone by 18. A.J. Brown got traded. That's a whole other conversation that we probably need to discuss at some point. But I still think that this move to go get Trent McDuffie, a guy that they believe can step in and start day one, is going to be a huge deal. And I will say, I think it's very interesting to see that they took three corners in this draft. And I have to wonder if some of the guys we thought were going to be starting or maybe not even going to be here. And maybe not starting, but at least on the roster.
Yeah. I don't know who has trade value and that kind of thing, but you're right. There are two guys in this draft class that I think could probably start for the Chiefs in the next 2 years. I don't know about this season. McDuffie would probably be the only one that I would say this season should
right.
be. And when you're taking 21st overall, you should be. But I agree with you. Like the price to go up into the wide receiver range was probably so high. You got to be really happy with getting Sky Moore at 54.
And you traded back to get him.
Right. Like you gave up your 50 knowing he would be there. And from what we understand, they wanted to get somebody else there as well. Like it was back and forth, the 2 second-round choices. I like both of them. We'll get to them in the next segment. But so that leaves you with what's the value that you can go get. And being at 29 and 30, I'm glad that they did something. And it's a little bit more of a projection because Trent McDuffie played 82% zone in college. But that, I think, is an indication that they can play more zone now and be comfortable. We know Legarius can play zone. I think they're comfortable with Shad Fenton in zone as well. And so like that may be signaling a small shift. I won't say that it's a redesign of the shells that Spags wants to run, but it will be a little bit of a shift. But they also have faith in McDuffie to come in and play the man when they want to play it because he was good at it. He had a good grade in his man reps. I really like the pick. I'm glad they went and did it. I mean, I've been asking for a corner for, I don't know, 6 years or something like that, and they actually went and did it. And then they come back with the edge rusher that I don't know if there's a better – perfect fit for what they want to do.
You just don't like it.
It's not that I don't like him. I like the player. I had him as a second round player. Yeah. That's the only thing is like, for me, they took him a little earlier than I would have. A lot of people are going to construe that as I don't like him. I like Cam Thomas better because I like a little bit more
You like then, more bends, I right? Like
power. Exactly. But for this system and this coaching staff, this was the best pick.
Well, and I will say this also is you have to look at that pick 30. I know you already know this, but I want to say it for our listeners. You have to look at pick 30. It's basically going to be a second round pick. There's no way that they're going to have somebody that was going to be sitting there at 30 that was going to be a first round value on their draft board. There is a lot of draft boards that are way skewed. Patriots, I have no idea what you're doing, but whatever. But you look at this, and this was another good draft pick. He's going to start day one. Now, whether or not he'll ever be a double-digit sack guy, who knows? But if you look at it knowing that it's really a second-round value, he can step in and give you something that you don't have on the roster currently.
Yeah. I mean, and that is a bone-crushing edge across from Frank Clark. And I bet that he will at one point get very close, if not break into double digits. And if I was going to put that money on the line, I'd do it at BetOnline, the best spot for all of your sporting stats, bets, and lines. Whether it's the developments, the podcasts, all the news that breaks over there, whether it's basketball playoffs or hockey playoffs or the baseball season, you can get it all done in one spot, including esports, which I have never even looked at this point, but I'll probably have to check that out. All the information, everything that you need is at one place at BetOnline, where the game starts. When we come back on taking a deeper look, a higher look at it, you ended up getting two core pieces, two of the four pillars of football, being an edge rusher and a cornerback for coverage. They got that accomplished in the first round. They come back in the second round, and what was it? We have four guys to go over here on day two. So what that does is give you a little bit of a weapon. Clearly, they were comfortable with MVS and Juju being on this roster, as well as Mecole Hardman. So by adding Sky Moore, who I think will be able to move around a little bit, but doesn't have to be a starting X or doesn't have to plug into a spot, I think that tells you that they're comfortable with the vets that they have, and they wanted to add a little bit of a spark, but it didn't have to be a whole overhaul.
Yeah, and we actually only have three, I think, but I understand the thought process on day two. They should have had four picks. They traded it to go get Trent McDuffie. And I will say, I would argue now that in their first three picks, they hit the five important positions in football. And I am throwing wide receiver in there now because of the market and because of the way that people are paying wide receivers. You know, we talked about AJ Brown getting traded. He got $25 million a year. I mean, essentially, it's in reality, it's 21, but that shows you the value of wide receiver has gone up significantly. And I think that's why you saw six wide receivers taken in the top 18.
Mm-hmm.
And another former wide receiver getting traded from Baltimore to Arizona. So I think that's something to look at as well. So wide receiver, I think, is in that range of the same of, you know, corner and edge and left tackle and quarterback.
And by addressing it with Sky Moore, you got yourself another weapon. You allow Patrick to be multiple and have not just a three-man rotation, but like a four-wide receiver rotation that you feel they can move the ball with every snap. I think that takes some of the pressure off of the new guys as well and allows McColl to kind of take a lead. And this is a contract year, and I think that's a good thing for him and a good thing for the team. So that works out.
And you have Sky Moore now for $13 million for his entire four-year contract.
Right.
A little over $13 million. So one season of Christian Kirk or Sky Moore for 4 years.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. It's also going to change the way the game is played. We'll talk about that here in the weeks upcoming, as well as on all of our other sites. But they come back after Sky Moore and giving Patrick the weapon they needed. They didn't need a lot over on that side. They come back with Brian Cook, who showed up all season long, all career long, and particularly in the college football playoff. Brian Cook was a player, and he hits well. He plays near the line of scrimmage. He can jump into a robber kind of thing if he needs to. Not super keen on him playing high, but that's what Juan Thornhill and Justin Reed are for. I expect to see a lot of three safety sets, just like we've seen over the last few years, but it's going to be different because he is much more of a playmaker, patrol underneath the bottom kind of guy than what they tried to do with Dan Sorensen in letting him do some of that, but playing him up top too. I think it allows them to be more deceptive in what they're trying to do.
Yep, no, absolutely. And I think that's also where I go back to looking at the rosters and the construction of the rosters now, I think you have 26 players that are really starters. It's not just 24 anymore. You have three corners. You have three safeties. Those count as starters. You have, you know, three wide receivers. If you want to count a fullback, you get to 26. So I think that that's really the way you need to look at roster construction, just because of the way that the game has started to shift. And I really like the Brian Cook pick. I will say this. If he had had a chance to test, I don't know that he's available at 62.
That's a definite possibility. What he shows on film is instinctual and explosive, and that's what they need. This is going to be, I think, a different type of feel for what they do in the three safety sets, but I like the way it's going. Now we just have to see is how they meld the three of them. And I do think Juan Thornhill, this is not a replacement for Juan Thornhill. This is an addition. This is you're putting together a trio. I don't think that this is a plan to replace Juan and have Cook play hot.
Well, I would hope not, but because I agree with you, I think he's more of an in-the-box type guy, and he's going to be somebody that's going to be close to the line of scrimmage and really able to attack downhill in that regard. So I like that. Then they go back in the third round, and they go get Leo Chanel, who is going to be their Sam linebacker.
And I said this a couple of years ago, and people questioned whether I was still playing old man football, right? I like building from the linebacker level because of what the Chiefs linebackers now show you is possible. With Willie Gay, Nick Bolton, and now Leo Chanel, it gives you the ability to help everywhere. And by having a really robust middle tier second line of your defense, you can come down, you can blitz, you can run support, you can help the defensive line. But if you can turn and run and get into some deeper zones, it allows you to help the secondary as well. Now, Chanel's mostly a downhill player. He's got great athleticism, but he isn't a natural coverage guy, in my opinion. So I don't think he's a guy that will be taking nickel snaps or anything. But what it does do is it lets him play the overhang, lets him play the Sam, rough up tight ends. Even if he can't turn and run with them succinctly, he can bully them at the line of scrimmage. And I'm really happy with his effectiveness there. And it lets Willie Gay be the will and do what he's built to do. And I really love that aspect of it in the base.
Well, and then it also gives them a good backup for Nick Bolton as well. That was one of the things they really liked about him is that he can step in and play the middle linebacker position if need be, if something happens to Bolton and he's not available. So I think that's a great thing as well. I do think that you're starting to see some versatility with those linebackers, and that's something that Kansas City hasn't had for a while. And now they've got three guys that are really young and they're going to be playing together for several years.
Yeah, and you can almost scratch that off the list. Yep. In terms of maybe you want another like coverage linebacker, but you can pick those up. You don't have to spend top 100 picks on those guys if they've got a single entity. You're going to roll your dice more and more on guys like Dorian O'Daniel and hope that one of them hits.
Yep. And, you know, you can go out and you can get the special teams linebacker types that Kansas City already pulled up or already brought in this season.
Yeah, and there's a number in the UDFA class as well. We'll talk about them coming up later this week.
Now, before we get to the fourth through seventh rounds, which is still a lot of picks, it's still, what, five picks to go through?
Yeah, I can't even count at this point. I've proven.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I want to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. Summer is coming, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you're fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars is that they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food or health. With Built Bar, you can have both. It's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. Have you tried the Built Puffs yet? We are going crazy for the Puffs. I absolutely love the Puffs. They have a lot of delicious flavors. They come in crazy flavors like banana cream pie and even churro. Who doesn't want a protein bar that tastes like a churro? And they're only 140 calories. Sign me up. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Go to Built.com to get all your favorites, banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, and so many more. They are all very delicious. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com.
So you say there was a third day, eh?
Something like that. Yeah. I will admit I was very kind of surprised at the direction Kansas City went with their third day picks. especially in the seventh round. But obviously, we're going to talk about the fourth rounder right now. This guy is going to be huge. I mean, he is huge. He's 6'3", almost, and almost 200 pounds. And developmental guy, I think he's going to be a special teams ace probably his first season, and then maybe a chance to have a starter in season two or three.
Yeah, this is Joshua Williams, the sizable corner from Arkansas Fayetteville.
Yep.
And Fayetteville State. And this is a fan favorite. This, we heard a lot about this in the fan mocks and in the RGR mocks, like all over the place. Folks wanted him. Congratulations, you went and got him. I had him right there in the fourth round. And we'll talk about overall value here as we wrap it up. But this is an A pick for me because you didn't overreach for it. You identified what you wanted, and you got him in the spot where he had value. I had the he and Zion McCollum right there in the middle of the fourth, right where they got him, and I think it's a nice fit, and we'll see what he can develop.
I will say this really quick because we didn't really give grades on the second round picks. I will give an A to Sky Moore and an A to Brian Cook. I really like both those players.
Yeah, I'll go a B for Moore. I like him. I think he does need to be with a group of other receivers. I don't think he can become an alpha. So if you're picking at 50, I'd usually like to see somebody that has the prospect of becoming a number one, but that's okay. I think the Cook is an A pick, so I'm super happy with that as well.
Well, the one thing I will say about Moore and pretty much everybody that they drafted, it looks like they went and drafted players that don't have any character issues at all whatsoever, which takes off the board a guy like George Pickens, who you would have been looking at 50.
True.
So
now back to Joshua. Joshua played at a small school, but he's 6'2 and a half. He's 200 pounds. And even though I couldn't get a ton of film on him, I could get some numbers. And when you take a look at the numbers, he is top 10 in the hawk rate. That's how well he defends passes and takes away the ball, either PBUs or interceptions per target. And the Eagle playmaker rate, which is all over the field, including tackles for loss, fumbles forced, et cetera, et cetera. And he's number one in yards per completion allowed in this entire draft class. So value, value, value in production.
Yep. And I will just say, I like the pick. I probably should give it a higher grade, but I'm going to go with a B, mainly because I thought that there was maybe some still edge rush out there that would have been very helpful. But they went this direction, and I still like the pick, just not necessarily the way I would have gone.
Gotcha. That brings us to the fifth round, and this year's Trey Smith, and I really believe this is a legitimate way to put it, a guy I had Darren Kennard in the third round.
Yep.
He got
some people had him in second.
Yeah. Dane Brugler had him in the second.
Yep.
Like, so he's not the uber athlete. This continues the slide towards power players. He's great against he's great in run blocking. His feet are a little bit slow. He needs to develop that a little bit of kick step there. But he is very much in the vein of trying to run more power and being a right tackle, swing tackle, I think, that can help if Lucas Niang is not ready to go. I'm not sure he can become a starter this offseason and be ready to go as a rookie. I do think that ends up being Wiley. But by year two, he's a viable backup. And if Lucas Niang cannot recover, he will be a guy that can start games for you.
Yeah, and I really like this pick. I'm going to give this one an A just because you get a player that a lot of people had in the second round. And I know you said you had him in the third round. A lot of different people had him ranked in that range, second or third round pick. And you get him in the fifth round. And yes, you had to trade up to go get him. You gave up a seventh round pick. Who cares about us at that point? When Kansas City already took 10 players. Yeah. So I think that you're looking at a situation where they're looking at him as a right tackle. He's going to step in and try to be a right tackle. I like that they went back to the same wall they went back to last year, and they went to the O-line masterminds class. He participated in O-line masterminds. I think that's a great sign going forward is to guys that are really taking a look at trying to improve their status between college and the pros, and he went and did that on his own, and it sounds like he's lost a lot of weight since his playing days in college. It sounds like he's down 20 or 30 pounds, so that could help with his footwork as well.
It definitely can. And I have not seen him work out since the combine workout. So I am really intrigued to see that because when I saw him at the Senior Bowl, it was about the lack of quickness in his feet. And if he's dropped weight from there, that could be a significant change for him. I'm really looking forward to that. They came back with Jalen Watson, the long, tall, again, sizable corner from Washington State. And a lot of people were kind of down on him. I actually had him as a fifth round grade because he's one of the few people that didn't let Drake London absolutely destroy him.
He struggled with him at times, but yeah, he didn't destroy him.
He did. He gave up 88 yards. That's a pretty good day out. And I think most people would say, oh man, he got beat up. No, because Drake London went off for 200 plus yards on a number of good corners as well.
So I was going to say 88 yards on the guy that went number 8 overall.
Yeah. The yard sticks a little bit different when you're playing Drake London. So I was actually encouraged by that. He's not the quickest of feet. So he does have to do that. He reminds me of Fenton in terms of his movement patterns. He's not the top end speed guy, but he uses his length well. He does have good arm length. He's got good size. He's 6'2". Like, I really like this fit. This is in the continued line of guys that they bring in that fit their quote-unquote stereotype, like Bo Piquez and others, and just see who fits, who rises from their college level up to the level where they can stay on this roster.
Yeah, and this year it doesn't look like he's probably going to start. He may have ability to start down the line. That's, you know, a big projection. But I will say he is probably going to be a guy that's going to step in and be a core special teams guy. I expect he's going to make the roster mainly because of his size. And if he doesn't make the roster, it's a good situation because you have other guys that are playing above his level, and that's going to be a good situation for Kansas City.
Agreed. I really like this. So, like, Kennard, I gave an A+. Watson, I'm going to give a B+ because I don't quite like the athleticism enough to give it an A. The fit's really there. They come back later and they draft Isaiah Pacheco, the power runner from Rutgers, and Nazi Johnson, who I did not get to see Marshall film this offseason, the safety from Marshall. Both of those I will give a B because I like Pacheco's run style, and Johnson is a team's specific type of draftee, and I think that is going to help Dave Tobe, and I think they needed to do some of that.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you on that. I think that the safety is a guy that they're going to figure is going to be a special teams guy, maybe even a core special teams guy. And it's going to be curious on this roster with all the draft picks that they spent at the corner position. And a lot of people were saying that Johnson was going to be a corner. Kansas City came out and specifically said he's going to safety in their system. So just want to throw that out there. But it looks like they're figuring that he's going to be maybe their fourth safety. And I don't know that they can go to 5. Because they're going to have so many corners.
Yeah. that's good news.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky, though, because you also, I mean, you brought in a guy like Deion Bush. So maybe Johnson doesn't make the roster, and I'm okay if your seventh-round picks don't make the roster. I'd be okay, honestly, if not in this case, because I'm sure he's going to, but in most cases, I'd be okay if fifth, sixth, and seventh-round guys didn't make the roster because you had somebody that was beating them out. Now, should you maybe you draft somebody else? Yeah, probably. But fifth, sixth, and seventh round guys are supposed to be the depth of your roster. And if you have somebody that can beat them out and be better for your system, it is what it is.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the competition they've built here really does the deal. And like you said, if a fifth or sixth doesn't make it, then that means the quality of your roster is there. It's also telling that so far, and it's not finalized, folks, so we'll tell you about the UDFA class tomorrow, which some UDFAs are going to make it. They always do. There's no corners in it yet. So that tells me that they went out and got the guys that they wanted. Yep. They're filling up the running backs with UDFAs quite a bit, as I've talked about over and over and over and over. So we'll let them battle it out, but it feels like that means that they have enough corner talent on their roster that they feel they're ready to go to camp.
Yeah, and I think they've signed a couple of linebackers as well. I don't remember seeing a wide receiver, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I saw one, but I haven't seen it confirmed yet. So, okay. Folks, we'll update you tomorrow when we know.
Yeah, we're still waiting to see who all they're going to end up signing. And don't forget, they could be having some guys that they don't sign, but they bring in for the rookie minicamp, which is going to be next week on a tryout basis. And I think Kansas City had a couple of those types of players that they actually got onto the training camp roster with. I don't think that they actually made the team, but if I remember correctly, they at least made the training camp roster.
Yeah, and that's good. You turn over every stone, I say, and let them battle it out.
But if you look at this draft, Trent McDuffie is a starter. Carl Loftus is a starter. Sky Moore, fringe starter. Yeah. Brian Cook is a fringe starter. Leo Chanel is going to be a starter probably year one. Kennard is going to be a guy that I think can start for you. Probably not, maybe not year one, but possibly year one. Depends on what he looks like coming into camp. Yeah. And then you know, Josh Williams is going to be a guy who could start for you down the line, but he gives you huge length and speed, and it gives you another special teams type of guy, which they lost last year in losing some of their special teams aces. So lots of different things that have fit this roster. I really love this draft and how it turned out for Kansas City. And I will say this, just about every place that I've seen ranking Kansas City's draft, it is in the top five.
Yeah.
They're consistently top five.
This is an A draft overall. I mean, this is up there with Baltimore and Philly. Mm-hmm. And some of the elite teams. That Baltimore's draft was just crazy, but you know, it is what it is.
But Baltimore does that every year, and Baltimore just takes the best player that falls to them. And some of the players that just fell to Baltimore was stupid.
Yeah,
but
we'll talk about that coming up as we discuss changes around the AFC in the coming weeks as well. Don't worry, we're going to go through each of these players, each of the changes as they get to OTAs, rookie minicamp. It's all coming. I know the draft is a big thing for most people in the offseason, but it ain't over. It's nowhere close to over. This team is just getting started, and we will be with you every way, every day, all summer long. So keep it tuned here. Make sure you come back. Make sure you sub to the YouTube channel as well. Click that like and the bell as well. I'm glad it's over. I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to go to bed for a week. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, well, you'll be back tomorrow. It's okay. Thank you all for listening today. We will be back to talk tomorrow more about the undrafted free agent class, which we should have pretty much figured out by the show tomorrow. Thanks again, and we will talk to you then.